This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. You know, one may ask the question, in the current climate, why do you want to speak about a man who was the embodiment of jihad? Why do you want to speak about a man who quashed and destroyed all the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To that, we say that these are historical facts, and every nation, every religion, every group of people have the right to remember those who have sacrificed for what they believe in. And no man sacrificed more than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu for what we believe in. And it is not our fault that a group of people, because of their political agenda, have made terrorism and jihad synonymous. For jihad is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How often do you have to pick up a sword to take the sword out of the hands of madmen? How often and how much we love the Mujahideen of Afghanistan when they fought our war against the Russians, and how much we despise the same word jihad because it impedes our global agenda. And if you say that we should forego jihad because it has been abused by a few, then to that we will say that democracy, freedom and liberty has been the cause of far more death in the world than the jihad has. Far more. And therefore today I want to speak about a man, a real man. And to appreciate this man, you have to really understand the definition of what a man is. The ulama write, a real man is he who is not only brave, but with bravery he has the sabr right. He has a deep understanding into the situation. And these two components make a holistic man. And then you have nisfu rajul, half a man. And half a man is he who is brave but he has no brains. And therefore his bravery gets him into trouble and it gets other people into trouble. Or the other half a man is he who has brains but he doesn't have the bottle to carry out the action. And the third is he who has no courage, or nor does he have any brains. And the ulama write, he's not a man at all. And then there are those men who are equivalent to men. Regarding Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abu Talha on the battlefield, his voice is equivalent to 1,000 men. When Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, send me 4,000 men. And Umar radiallahu anhu sent him 4,000 men. And at the head of these 4,000 men, he said, four men. Zubair, Miqdad, Maslama, and Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. And he wrote him a letter. He said, I am sending you 4,000 men. And at the head of these 4,000 men, I am sending you four men who are each one of them is equivalent to 1,000. And today I don't want to speak a man who was equivalent to 100 or 1,000 or 100,000, but he was equivalent to 1,000,000. He was Khalid bin Walid. He was born in the house of the greatest enemy of Islam, Walid ibn Mughira. Walid had all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah deprived him of the greatest favor, and that was the favor of Islam. And Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillahi ala ni'mat al-Islam wa kafa biha ni'ma. Or praise be to Allah on the ni'ma of Islam. And if this was the only favor, it would suffice. If you had Islam and you had nothing else, they would survive. But Walid was given all the other favors. He was known as Rayhanat of Quraysh because of his beauty, the flower of Quraysh. He was the richest man from amongst the people of Quraysh. As long as Walid ibn Mughira lived, nobody had the right to feed the mushrikeen hajjis. Nobody fed them as long as Walid ibn Mughira lived. And at any one time, he had over 100,000 gold Walid ibn al-Mughira. He was the man who coined the term magician for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon occasion, he gathered the people of Quraysh and he said, oh people of Quraysh, understand that the Arab from all corners of the Arab peninsula will come and perform Hajj, and they have heard about Muhammad and they will ask you about him. So you need to be united and unified regarding your response. And they said, you tell us, Walid, you are the most intelligent from amongst us. What should we say? And he said, no, you tell me. So one of them said that Wednesday, he's a gahid, he's a sorcerer. And Walid said, I have sat with sorcerers, and Muhammad is no sorcerer. And then he said, then they said, Wednesday, he's a poet. And Walid ibn al-Mughira said, I know poetry better than anybody else, and I have sat with poets, and Muhammad is no poet. And then they said, we'll say he's a madman. And Walid ibn al-Mughira said, fools, don't you know that madmen cannot articulate what Muhammad says? And then they said, we'll say he's a magician. We'll say he's a magician. And he said, I have sat with magicians and I have seen their magic, and what Muhammad does is not magical, nor is he a magician. And then they said, what shall we say? And Walid said, everything that you have proposed, we know it is false. But we will go with the fact that he is a magician. He divides between a husband and a wife, a mother and a daughter, a son and a father. And Walid ibn al-Mughira was the man who coined the term sahir for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walid's hate for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he offered his own son to Abu Talib. Is Abu Talib, take Amara. He's the most wisest and the most upright amongst the youngsters of Quraysh. Take him and give us Muhammad and we'll deal with him. And then he said, isn't it right? We give you a man for a man. Fool didn't understand. If they had given the entirety of humanity for my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it still would not have sufficed. It still would not have survived. And Abu Talib said, do you think it's fair that I give you my child and you kill him, and I feed and raise your child? And when Walid ibn al-Mughira passed away, Allah records in the Quran what will be his outcome. Allah mentioned in the Quran, Allah said, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me to deal with that one I created by myself. سَأُسْلِهِ سَقَبْ. I will enter him into the blazing fire. And when Walid died, this banner of hate was transferred onto the shoulders of no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, his son. And Khalid belonged to the Bani Makhzuma. And Bani Makhzuma was the warrior tribe from the Quraysh. And no one was a greater warrior than Khalid bin Walid amongst them. He had the ability to hold the sword in both hands and control his horse with his feet. And he was renowned amongst the Bani Makhzuma that nobody could fight Khalid bin Walid. And on the Battle of Badr, his brother Walid ibn Walid was captured by the Muslims. And Khalid came and gave 4,000 dirhams ransom. And when Walid ibn Walid reached a place called Dhul Khalifa, he was so impressed by the character of the believers that he slipped away and he embraced Islam on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this enraged Khalid ibn Walid even more. And when the Battle of Uhud came, and it's no exaggeration, that the man who was responsible for the defeat on the Battle of Uhud was no other than Khalid ibn Walid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded 50 Sahaba under Abdullah ibn Jumayr to stand on the mountain of Uhud. And he said, under no circumstances should you descend from the mountain. And the narrations mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, even if you see birds pecking our head. And the battle started. And Khalid bin Walid on three occasions tried to attack the Muslim from behind. And upon three occasions, the archers repelled him. And slowly the Muslims got the upper hand. And slowly the Mushrikeen began to flee from the battlefield. And the archers began to dispute amongst them. Some said the command of the Prophet ﷺ was only went on, and Abdullah ibn Jubayr pleaded with them. But 40 of them left their sides, and Khalid got his opportunity. You know, Amr ibn al-As defined Khalid ibn Walid. He said, he is a friend of death, a master of warfare. He has the dash of a lion and the patience of a cat. And on that day, he showed the patience of a cat. He waited for his opportunity, and then he came from behind, and he attacked the 10 archers. He overpowered them. And then with the dash of a lion, he was upon the believers. And every time he would strike a Muslim, he would say, "Ana Abu Sulaiman." Every single time. And the rumor spread that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. And lot of the Muslims, they left the battlefield. And Ikramah, the son of Abu Jahl, came behind the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he stopped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 30 Sahaba with him. And the target of the mushrikeen were no other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But wallahi, the only way they were going to reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was over the dead bodies of these 30 Sahaba. And when they attacked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who will repel them?" And the first man to stand up was the Sahabi called Ziyad ibn Sakan radiallahu anhu. An old man. He was an old man. And he said, "O me, O Messenger of Allah." And he fought and he was struck down. When he was struck down, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bring him closer to me." And when they brought Ziyad ibn Sakan, whilst his cheek was on the foot of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away. Wallahi, what honor that you die with your cheek on the foot of your master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on that day, Abu Dujana took so many arrows that when he could no longer take the pain, he stood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he could no longer take the pain, he fell to the ground, and the narration mentioned that his back was like a porcupine. On that day, Abu Talha stood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he took so many arrows that his one side became paralyzed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya Talha, wajabat lak. Ya Talha, wajabat lak." He said, "Oh Talha, today Jannah has become wajib upon you." On that day, Harith ibn Slima stood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Wajib duna wajib." He said, "My face will take the arrows, but I will not allow the arrows to your face." He said, "Nafsi duna nafsi." He said, "My body will take the arrows, but I will not allow the arrows to hit your body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And it was on that day that 70 Sahaba were martyred. And when the rumor spread that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, Khalid ibn Walid went to Abu Sufyan and he said, "Are you sure that Muhammad is dead?" And Abu Sufyan said, "Yes." He said, "Are you not sure?" And Khalid said, "Men like Muhammad don't die so easily. Men like Muhammad don't die so easily." And Khalid ibn Walid had seen a group of people going up the mountain Uhud, and he went to pursue them because he wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar ibn Khattab took out his sword and he said, "Khalid, come." But Khalid knew that the Muslims were on top of the mountain and it would be impossible to fight them. And it was on this day that 70 Sahaba were martyred. The beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza radiallahu anhu, was not only martyred, his body was mutilated. Nowhere else in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sob and cry, besides when he saw the mutilated body of uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. He sobbed, he cried uncontrollably. And the man who was responsible for all this was no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. The only man to defeat the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Khalid bin Walid. History records that only two generals never lost a battle. One was Genghis Khan and the other one was Sword of Allah, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. The difference between the two was Genghis was a tyrant while Khalid bin Walid was a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Genghis Khan would say, "The most beloved thing to me is to kill my enemies, to take their possession, to enjoy the pain and the suffering that I cause their families, and then as a final gesture of power, to rape their women." This is what he would say. And you know what Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu would say? He would say, "The most beloved thing to me is to go on the path of my Lord on a cold and frosty night. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, this is more beloved to me than more beloved to me than the night that I have been given glad tidings of a newborn child. Why? Because he knew the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La ghadbatun fi sabilillahi aw rawhatun khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha." A moment in the evening, a moment in the morning in the path of Allah, or a moment in the evening in the path of Allah is better than what the entire dunya holds. What the entire dunya holds. And then came the battle of Khandaq. And Khalid's duty again was to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Muslims, they dug the trenches. And Khalid orchestrated the movement of the mushrikeen cavalry in such a way that the Muslims attained no rest. And two people managed to cross the trench. One was Ikrimah with a group of men, and the other one was Khalid bin Walid. And when Ikrimah managed to cross the trench, with him was a man called Amr ibn Abdiwud. And Amr ibn Abdiwud was the undisputed champion amongst the Arabs. He had never lost a battle, and the narration mentioned he descended from his horse and he cut the legs of the horse, meaning that he wasn't going to go back. And then he said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there anybody amongst you who is ready to fight me?" And nobody moved. Why? Because this was Amr ibn Abdiwud. When women, their children want to go to sleep, they will say, "Go to sleep, Amr ibn Abdiwud is coming." He was equivalent to 500 men, and he had never spared a man who fought him. And nobody moved, and Amr ibn Abdiwud began to laugh. And the mushrikeen began to laugh. And then he said, "Oh Muhammad, I hear that you say that your martyrs will go into Jannah and we will go into Jahannam. Is there anybody amongst you who wants to enter into Jannah?" And Ali radiallahu anhu jumped up and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to fight this tyrant." And listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh, sit down, Ali, don't you know this is Amr? Don't you know this is Amr ibn Abdiwud?" And then Amr ibn Abdiwud began to laugh again, and the mushrikeen began to laugh. And then he shouted again, he said, "What about your Nabi Muhammad? And what about your deen?" And the Sahaba couldn't take this insult. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, "O Messenger of Allah, allow me to go and fight him." And the Messenger of Allah allowed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took off his turban and he placed it on the head of Ali radiallahu anhu. And he gave him his sword, Zulfiqar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his hands to the heaven. And he said, Oh Allah, on the day of Uhud, you took Hamza away from me. Today, do not take Ali away from me." And Ali marched out, and really, it was a mismatch like David and Goliath. And when Amr ibn Abdiwud saw Ali, he said, "Couldn't they find anybody who was bigger than you? He was only a young man at the time." And Ali radiallahu anhu responded, he said, "I am at the lowest from amongst the believers, but you deserve nobody besides me." And then Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Before I fight you, I will give you one of two options. That you recite, 'La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.'" And Amr ibn Abdiwud said, "Even if my head was in the depth of Jahannam, I would not recite these words." And then Ali radiallahu anhu said, "You go back, don't fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Amr ibn Abdiwud said, "Then people will say, I ran away from a small child like you." And then Amr asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Ali, the son of Abu Talib." And Amr said, "Your father was my friend. My son, I don't want to kill you." And Ali radiallahu anhu said, "You may not want to kill me, but because you are the enemy of Allah, I want to kill you." And this enraged Amr, and he went for Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali was very nimble, and he moved from one side to the other side until Amr was totally exhausted. And Allah had given Ali a great power, great natural power, even in the battle of Khaybar. He dislodged the whole door, and he jumped towards him, and he grabbed Amr ibn Abdiwud and he dropped him. And you know what they say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he fell to the ground, and Ali radiallahu anhu took out his dagger. And Amr wanted to go out in style, and he spat in the face of Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali got up, and everybody was amazed. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, we are believers. Initially I was going to kill you for the sake of Allah, but now it's become personal, so I don't want to kill you. But Amr could not live with his disgrace. And when Ali radiallahu anhu was walking away, he attacked Ali radiallahu anhu. And with the blessed sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali struck him and killed Amr ibn Abdul-Wud. The other man who managed to cross was no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And he unrelentingly attacked the Muslims. It took 200 Muslim archers to repel Khalid bin Walid. And then came the Hudaybiyah. And again, it was the duty of Khalid bin Walid to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned, I came with 100 men. And I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying the Lord. And I thought, when they prayed Asr, I will attack him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, because of Khalid bin Walid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Salatul Khawf, the prayer of fear, where you divide the army into two. One prays and the other faces the army. And then after the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can anybody take us on the path where we will not encounter Khalid bin Walid? And they took him to Hudaybiyah. And on that occasion, the mushrikeen said that the Prophet ﷺ could come the next year to perform the Umrah. And when the Prophet ﷺ came the next year, one of the first people the Prophet ﷺ asked for was Khalid bin Walid. And Khalid's brother said, O Messenger of Allah, he's left Makkah. Say that if Muhammad comes in Makkah and Khalid is in Makkah, Muhammad will not return alive. A'udhu billah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لِلَّهِ تُرُّكُ لِخَالِدٍ. See, that's an intelligent man like Khalid still not understood that there is no God but Allah and I am his messenger. And then when the Prophet ﷺ went back, his brother Walid wrote a letter to Khalid. And he said, O Khalid, when the Messenger of Allah came, one of the first people he asked was about you. And I told him that you left Makkah saying that you, if Muhammad is in Makkah, he will not return alive. As an intelligent man, like Khalid bin Walid, not understood that there is no God but Allah, and I am his messenger. I am his messenger. And the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they went through a letter, permeated the heart of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And one of my teachers, who was a great historian, I've never read this narration, but he mentioned that one of the narrations is such that Khalid went home. He took his sword and he mounted his horse and he went around Makkah and he said, oh, people of Makkah know that Khalid is about to go to Medina to embrace Islam on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anybody wants his wife to become a widow and his children to become orphans, then let them stand in front of Khalid bin Walid. And nobody came out of their houses. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu went to Medina, and with him was Amr ibn al-As and another Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Amr, Khalid radiallahu anhu, what did he say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been totally in his right to have said, oh Khalid, is it you? The son of Walid ibn al-Mughira, our greatest enemy, why have you come to Medina? Is it you who was the cause of the death of 70 of my companions, and every time you would strike kill me before sunset? Is it you who on the battle of Khandaq wanted to kill me, and on Hudaybiyah you wanted to kill me? Is it you, when I came for Umrah, you left Makkah saying, Muhammad is in Makkah and I am in Makkah, Muhammad will not return alive? The Prophet ﷺ said, none of this. Why? Because the iman of one person is greater than the kufr of humanity. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw Amr ibn al-As and he saw Khalid, and these were the cream of the crop of Makkah, he said, Makkah has thrown away its liver. And then the Prophet ﷺ embraced them and he said, oh Khalid, I knew that an intelligent man like you would come to the truth. And within a period of 3 months came the battle of Mauta. And the battle of Mauta was because the Prophet ﷺ had sent one of his messengers to the Romans, the Arab, and the Arab Christians, they killed his messenger. And many of the Arab Christians, they became Muslim. And the Romans gave an instruction that any Arab who becomes a Muslim, he should be killed. And the Prophet ﷺ sent an army of 3,000 men. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the leader of this army will be Zayd ibn Harith. And if he is martyred, then it will be Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And if he is martyred, then it will be Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. And if he is martyred, you may choose whoever you wish from amongst you. And when they reached a place called Ma'an, the Muslims heard that the Romans had sent reinforcements and the army reached over 100,000. And the Muslims said, let's go inform the Prophet. And there was a Sahabi called Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. And he said, oh believers, the thing that you are running from is the very thing that you desire, Shahada. We don't fight with numbers, we fight with the help of Allah. So go and fight and you will attain one of two blessings. Either you will be martyred or you will attain victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such was his speech that he inspired a group of 3,000 men to fight an army of over 100,000. And the our battle started. And Zayd ibn Haritha was martyred. And then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib took the flag. And Ja'far radiallahu anhu's right hand was cut. And then he held it with his left hand, and his left hand was cut, and then he held it between his two arms, and they pierced his chest with a spear, and he was martyred. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw Ja'far flying in Jannah with the angels, and Allah had replaced his arms with wings. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha took the flag, and he was martyred. And then Zayd ibn Akram took the flag. And Zayd radiallahu anhu said, oh believer, choose a man from amongst you. And his eyes fell on no other than Khalid bin Walid. And he said, oh Abu Sulaiman, take the flag. And Khalid said, no, you take the flag. You are Badri Sahabi. You fought many battles. You remain in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, this was the humility of the sword of Allah. And then everybody insisted that Khalid bin Walid take the flag. And Khalid radiallahu anhu reluctantly took the flag. And the first thing he said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And then he said, oh believers, the doors of Jannah have been flung open. And he fought with such ferocity that on that day, Khalid bin Walid broke 9 swords. He didn't want the enemy to know that he was retreating. So under the darkness of night, what he did, he showed what a military genius he was. It was one of the greatest military strategies ever seen. What he did is he sent a regiment and he said, hide. And when we line up in the morning, come out. And then he sent a group of another horsemen and he said, go to a plain in the distance, which is very dusty. And in the morning, make your forces run in that dusty plain. And then he put the left side, the left flank on the right side, and the right flank on the left side, and the front of the army to the back, and the back to the front. And he gave them different flanks. So in the morning, when the Romans saw, they saw new faces. Allah. They saw new flags. And they saw, we couldn't handle a bunch of Muslims yesterday. Now they've got reinforcements. And then what he did, regiment that he had sent, they came out. They came out and they joined the Muslims, and they were sure that the Muslims had new reinforcements. And in the background, they saw dust flying. And they were convinced that more reinforcements are coming. And the narration mentioned that the Romans were totally confused. And whilst they were confused, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu attacked them. And they attacked him with such ferocity. The narration mentioned that the Sahaba was striking whenever they wanted. And the Romans were going back. And in all this confusion, Khalid bin Walid managed to retreat the army. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst the battle was going on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended the pulpit. And he gathered the Sahaba. And he said, Zayd ibn Haritha has been martyred, may Allah give him Jannah. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib has been martyred, and the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ were flowing. And he said, may Allah Jannah. And then he said, Abdullah ibn Rawaha has been martyred. May Allah give him Jannah. And then when Khalid bin Walid took the sword, the Prophet said, the flag, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَخَذَ سَيْفٌ مِنْ سَيْفِ اللَّهِ. One of the swords of the sword of Allah has taken the flag. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now the battle has begun to rage. Now the battle has begun to rage. And for a period of 3 months, Khalid from Adullah became Sayyidullah. From the enemy of Allah became the sword of Allah. And then when he came to the battle of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ used him for what he was best at. And that was in the battlefield. The battle of Hunayn came and Khalid was seriously injured. And it shows how much love the Prophet ﷺ had for Khalid. He went looking in the tents, and when he found Khalid, the Prophet ﷺ took his saliva and he placed it on his wounds. And no sooner had he done this that the wounds were as though they never existed. And then the Prophet ﷺ sent him on the battle of Fatih Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Then the time came to destroy Uzza. And Uzza was, it was an idol in the valley of Nakhla, and there were 300 trees carved as an idol. And the Prophet ﷺ sent Khalid bin Walid, and so he said, destroy the first one. And Khalid came back, and the Prophet ﷺ said, did you see anything? And Khalid said, nothing. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, destroy the second one. And Khalid went and he destroyed the second one. And then we came back and the Prophet ﷺ said, did you see anything? And Khalid said, nothing. And the Prophet ﷺ said, go and destroy the third one. And when Khalid went to destroy the third idol, behind it came Uzza, the demon of Uzza. And it attacked Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid said, Kufranak la subhanak, qad ra'aytu Allah ahanak. He said, there is no good for you. There is your kufr, and there is no purity for you. And I have seen Allah disgrace you. And he struck it with his sword. And the Prophet sallallahu wanted to show this miracle to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And then after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu had unsheathed the sword of Allah, and Abu Bakr had no intention of sheathing it. And when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, much of the Arab Peninsula rebelled, and false prophets came up, and Tulayha came up. And Abu Bakr sent Khalid bin Walid to deal with Tulayha. And Khalid radiallahu anhu came with an army which was far smaller than Tulayha, and it attacked Tulayha's army. And Tulayha was sitting there with his face wrapped in a cloth, and they came to Tulayha and they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we are being defeated. As if Jibreel descended, he said, I'm waiting for him just a little while. And then Khalid attacked again. And they came back to him and they said, oh Messenger of Allah, as if Jibreel come, he said, he's about to come. And they went and they fought again. And the third time when Khalid pushed, they said, oh Messenger of Allah, as if Jibreel descended. And he mounted his horse with his wife and he said, yes, Jibreel just descended. And he said, this is a day that you will never forget. And how can you forget the day that you encountered the sword of Allah? And then Abu Sharjah came, and Abu Sharjah said, my spear will wreak havoc with the regiment of Khalid bin Walid. And Khalid swept him away. Then Malik ibn Nuwayrah came, and Khalid swept him away. And then came the worst and the greatest of all the false prophets, Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. He had already defeated the army of Ikramah and Shrahbi. He had 14,000 men. And when he heard that Khalid was coming with 14,000, he thought it would be a walkover. But little did he know that he was about to encounter the greatest military general of humanity, of history. And Khalid radiallahu anhu came with 14,000 men, and he crushed his 40,000 men. And Wahshi, the man who killed Hamza radiallahu anhu on the battle of Uhud, he threw a spear which hit Musaylimah and killed him. And Wahshi would say, in the days of Jahiliyyah, I killed the best of people, meaning Hamza. In the days of Islam, I killed the worst of people, and Musaylimah to al-Kadhdhab. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent him to deal with the superpower of the day, the Persians. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied two things about the Persians. One, that Allah would destroy their kingdom. And the second, that Allah has given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the keys for their kingdom. that the Prophet ﷺ would take over the kingdom. And both of these prophecies manifested on the hands of no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr wrote a letter to Khalid bin Walid. And he said, Khalid, go and deal with the Persians. But because your men have fought many battles, those who wish to go home, allow them to go home. And when Khalid made this announcement, he had 13,000 men. 11,000 went home. And he only had 2,000 left. And he wrote a letter to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he said, Abu Bakr, I only have 2,000 men. And Abu Bakr sent a reinforcement in the shape of one man, Qaqa ibn Amr. And the Sahaba was astonished. They said, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? You sent in Qaqa ibn Amr in substitute for 11,000 men? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, those ranks which have the lives of Qaqa will never be defeated and forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again, on the first battle, the battle of Chains, Khalid bin Walid showed what a military genius he was. The Persians were camped in a place called Qazim. And the army was far greater than the Muslims. And Khalid bin Walid went near Qazim, but he knew that the Persian army moved very heavy. Every single soldier had a sword, had a shield, had a bow, an arrow, and heavy armor. And the Muslims were very mobile. So he went near Qazim and then he decided to go to Hudayr. And Hudayr was a very important position for the Persians. So they hurried towards Hudayr. When they took over the Muslims and they reached Hudayr, by the time they reached Hudayr, they were shattered. And then Khalid, he came close to Hudayr and he decided to go back down to Qazim. And the Persians from Qazim, they rushed, they took over the Muslims and went from Hudayr, they went back down to Qazim and they camped there. And by the time they reached Qazim, they were totally exhausted. And Khalid, before they could take a breath, he lined his men up. And some of the Muslims began to object. They said, oh Khalid, there's no water here. And Khalid said, water will be for those who are steadfast and deserving of it. And the narration mentioned, no sooner had he said this, that the clouds opened and they began to rain. And then Hurmuz, who was the leader of the Persians, and he was 1,000 dirham man, and this was the highest rank that you could attain in the Persian army. They wore caps which were worth 100,000 dirhams. He came forward, and Hurmuz was known from Iraq to India because he had attacked India a number of times, and he was a great tyrant. They had a double missile. They had an example they would give of Hurmuz. If they saw an evil person, they would say that he's a bigger Khabith than Hurmuz. Or they would say he's a bigger Kafir than Hurmuz. And Hurmuz came forward. And what Hurmuz did, he told a group of his soldiers that hide. And when I call to you, come out and kill Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid came forward. And Hurmuz fought with Khalid for a while in a duel, and then he threw down his sword. And he said, Arab, throw down your sword. And Khalid threw down his sword. And then they began to fight fists. And he grabbed Khalid radiallahu anhu. And then he shouted to his men to come out to kill Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid was a giant of a man. When his men came out with unsheathed swords, every time they tried to hit Khalid radiallahu anhu, swerve Hurmuz and they would hit Hurmuz. And then they didn't see him coming. Who? Qaqa ibn Amr. The one man reinforcement that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had sent. And he lined them up and he killed every single one. And then the sword of Allah dealt with Hurmuz and his army dealt with the army of Hurmuz, and they defeated them, and then came the battle of the rivers. And in the battle of the rivers, the commander was another man called Qarib, and he was also equivalent to it was also 100,000 dirham man. And in this army was a man called Anus Jan. And Anus Jan said, I will show you how I defeat Khalid bin Walid. And he came out and he said, is there a man amongst you called Khalid bin Walid? For if there is, and he's man enough, then let him come out. And Khalid bin Walid came out. And then Al-Hujjaj said, and Khalid ibn Walid said, he said, you are full of yourself. And he said, shouldn't I be? For there is no man in Persia who can compete with me. And Khalid said, isn't it so that brave men are also intelligent? See, Khalid gave the definition of a man 1400 years ago. And Al-Hujjaj said, there is no man in Persia who is braver than me and more intelligent than me. And these were Zoroastrians, they worship fire. Then Khalid said, tell me, how does an intelligent man worship fire? For fire burns its enemies like it burns its worshippers. And if it was the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nobody would have the ability to even look at it. So why don't you worship Allah, the one who created the fire? And Al-Hujjaj said, I've come for a religious debate. And Khalid radiallahu anhu said, it was an obligation upon me to convey the message so that on the day of judgment you don't say that the haq reached your ears. And then Khalid said, let's fight. And Al-Hujjaj attacked Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And before Khalid would pick up his sword, he attacked him again. And he broke the sword of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid radiallahu looked at the sword and he threw it away. And then Al-Hujjaj became happy, he said, game over. And he attacked Khalid again, and Khalid took out his spear and he thrust it in his stomach. And there went the greatest champion of the Persians. And then Khalid fought with so much ferocity on that day that with a group of men, he ripped through the Persian ranks and he came out the other side and they saw Khalid. And he said, Khalid, what kind of man are you? Your soldiers fight and you watch. And Khalid came forward and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu killed him. And when they saw their general dead, they began to flee. And the Muslims captured thousands of Persians. And on this day, the Muslims also captured the father of Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. He was a Christian who was fighting with the Persian. And then battle after battle, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu demoralized and destroyed the superpower of the day. Although the final battle took place between Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and the Persian at the Battle of Qadisiyah. But the reality is that Khalid bin Walid had totally demoralized them before this. He had totally demoralized them. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent a letter to Khalid bin Walid to deal with the Romans, the other superpower. And he told Khalid, he said, hurry and meet the army of Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And Khalid called a council. And he asked, what are the ways? And they gave him two paths. They said, one is that you go south. And this is the easiest but the longest way. Well, the second is you go north past the Euphrates River. But there you have to pass the Roman garrisons. None of these were good enough for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid said, I need a path which is faster than this. Is there any other path? They said, there is no other path. And there was a man there called Rafi ibn Ammar radiallahu anhu. And he said, I know one path, but it entailed 120 miles of going through land and desert which has no water. It is perilous for a single person and it is suicide for an army. And Khalid radiallahu anhu, the people of Iman, said, that is the path we will take. Because Abu Ubaidah told me to hurry. And they said, this is suicide. And Khalid said, don't allow your resolve to be weak. Because the help of Allah descends on depending upon your resolve. And he said, as long as we have the help of Allah, nobody can defeat us. And this was the Imam of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, really. And you look at throughout the life when they besieged Hira, Abdul Masih came on behalf of the people in the fortress. And he was speaking to Khalid and he had a pouch. And Khalid asked him, who is this? What's in this pouch? And he took it out and he said, this is poison. It's poison. And Khalid radiallahu anhu took it. And he recited, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then he said, nothing in the heavens and the earth can affect you if you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he drank it. And when Abdul Masih saw this, he couldn't believe that the Imam of Khalid bin Walid. And he said, I swear by Allah, O Arab, wherever And then he went to the fortress and he told them, he said, throw your doors open, for these are a group of people who cannot be defeated. Why? Because on the basis of their iman, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu undertook one of the greatest military journeys ever seen in history. The water which was meant to last for 5 days lasted for 3 days. And then the only thing on the tongues of the Sahaba and the others was Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And then when they reached the place where they went to reach, Rafi became, he had an illness where he could no longer see because of the rays of the sun. And they said, Rafi, have we not reached the place? And he said, I can't see anymore. And then he said, send your scouts out to look for 2 hillocks which look like the breast of a woman. And their scouts went out and they found them and they came back. And then they said, he said, go and look for a tree which looks like a man prostrating. And they went out and they couldn't find any tree. And they came back and informed him. And he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said, go out and look for it again. And they went out and they found the trunk of the tree, just the trunk of the tree. And Rabi said, dig there. And they began to dig, and the narration mentioned that water came forth like a river. And the Muslims ran to their fall. But this was based on Khalid bin Walid's resolve. And I mentioned, when they besieged Hira, they sent a man called Abdul Masih. And Abdul Masih was a Christian. And he had a pouch, and Khalid asked him what's in the pouch, and he said, poison. He said, I'm an old man, and I live my life in honor. And if you try to disgrace me, I will drink the poison. And Khalid said, give it to me. And Khalid took it, and he said, Bismillah ila yadurru ma ismihi shaykhun fil ard wa la fis sama wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. He said, in the name of Allah, and nothing in the heavens and the earth can harm you if you take the name of Allah. But it is based on your tawakkul and your belief in Allah. And he drank it, and nothing happened to him. And Abdul Masih said, I swear by Allah, Arabs, you will take whatever you desire. You will take whatever you desire. And he went back to the fortress, and he said, open the doors. There's no benefit of fighting these people. But these were people who trusted in Allah. And when they defined Khalid bin Walid, what did they say about Khalid bin Walid? They said he was a man who would never rest, and he would not allow those around him to rest, and nothing was concealed from him. When the Persians wrote a letter to the Chinese, and they said that is a menace, the Arabs, let's deal with them together. And the Chinese emperor wrote a letter back, and he said, what do you want me to do with a group of people that if they desire to mountain, they will move a mountain. They will move a mountain because they had met with belief like Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu amongst them. And then Khalid did to the Romans what he did to the Persians. He crushed them like a tsunami. Ajnadain. There were 3 times more Romans than the Muslims at Ajnadain. And Khalid crushed them. And then in Damascus, regarding the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved place in Sham is Damascus. And Khalid came with 8,000 men, and the Romans had 17,000. And Khalid, he wanted to demoralize the army, because this was the greatest act that Khalid had. He would demoralize the army. He would write letters to them. He would say, submit. And if you do not submit, then give jizya. And if you do not give jizya, then I have a group of people. Yuhibbuna al-mawta kama tuhibbuna al-hayat. They love death like you love life. And this will make them shake in their boots. And he demoralized his 17,000 army. He said, how many people to fight them? He said, one man. Dhirar ibn Aswad, one man. And he said, Dhirar, go and fight. And they saw Dhirar coming in, so he was a messenger. Until he struck one of them. And then one of the Romans, they came in rage and they attacked Zerar and he killed another one. And 2 more attacked, and then Zerar attacked another 2 and he killed them. 4 men he killed. Then Khalid sent Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, and he said, you go and deal with them. And he went, and he killed four men and came back. And then Khalid went himself. And the narration mentioned he would attack, retreat. He killed over 24 men. And this army was made of 2 different separate armies. One was led by a man called Qulus, and the other one Israel. And none of them wanted to fight Khalid. The 2 generals of this army, they drew lots who were going to fight him. And Qulus came forward. And Qulus came with a translator, and he said to the translator, he said, "You know, if you see this Arab overpower me, kill him, and I will give you more wealth than you can dream of." And the translator said, "I haven't come to fight. This man eats 50 of me. What am I going to do with your wealth if I'm dead?" But he said, "Don't worry. I will instill in the heart of this man your fear." And he went and he said, "Oh Arab, be aware. This is the champion of Sham, and he will not spare you." And Khalid began to laugh. And he said, "You are like, to us in our eyes, you are nothing like but birds in a cage. And birds in a cage can't harm anybody. And as for me, I am Khalid bin Walid." And when the translator, because they didn't know this was Khalid bin Walid, when the translator heard this, he began to shake. And he went back to Qulus and he said, "This is Khalid." And Qulus said, "Make sure that we don't have to fight today. Tell him we want to postpone the fight." And Khalid said, "You're trying to deceive me." And Khalid went and he attacked Qulus. And Qulus was in no mood of fighting. And Khalid captured him and he took him back. And then came Israel. And Israel said to Khalid bin Walid, he said, "Oh Khalid, why are you fighting? You're the general. If you die, who's going to command your army?" And Khalid said, "Every single individual in my army is a Khalid bin Walid. Every single individual in my army is a Khalid bin Walid." And then Khalid asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, "Don't you know who I am?" He said, "I am the champion of Sham, the killer of the Persians, the breaker of the Turks." And Khalid said, "What's your name?" He said, "I am named after the angel of death, Israel." And Khalid said, "Then you are soon to be the one that you're named after." "So you're soon to be the one that you're named after." And then he asked him, "What have you done with Qulus?" Because Qulus and Israel hated each other. He said, "He's in irons." And he said, "Why haven't you killed him yet?" So Khalid said, "I want to kill both of you together." And then Qulus said, and then Israel said, "If you kill Qulus, I will give you a great reward. And Khalid radiallahu anhu said, "How much will you give me if I save you?" And Israel said, "How much do you want?" And Khalid said, "I want the jizya. You give me the jizya and I will spare you." And Qulus attacked Khalid, and Khalid defeated him and he captured him and he took him back. And then the Muslim army destroyed. They destroyed the army and they took over Damascus. And then Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu saw a dream that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before they took over Damascus, he saw this dream. He saw a dream that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Glad tidings, O Abu Ubaidah, you will take Damascus." And then he was hurrying, and Abu Ubaidah asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, where are you going?" And he said, I am going to the janazah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when the letter of Khalid bin Walid, when the letter of Umar ibn Khattab came, that Abu Bakr had passed away, Abu Ubaidah already had the feeling, he had seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did this letter say? This said, reinstated Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah and demoted Khalid bin Walid. And for an entire month, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah didn't tell Khalid bin Walid, because he knew that this would demoralize the men. Men from all over they took hits. And then came the greatest battle ever between the cross and the crescent. The battle of Yarmouk. This was the defining battle. The Christians came with 240,000 men. And the Muslims had 41,000 men. And when they heard that Khalid bin Walid was coming, they began to shake in their shoes. Because Khalid was never scared of anybody, because the Prophet ﷺ made a special dua for Khalid, that he feared nobody. And Khalid mentioned after that day, I never feared anybody. And when Khalid was examining his ranks, there was a young soldier, and this young soldier said, he looked at the Roman army and he marveled at the numbers. And he said, how many are the Romans and how few are we? And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, don't say that. Say how many are the believers and how few are the Romans, because weakness comes from being forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you have Allah on your side, there is nobody can defeat you. As long as Allah is yours, everything is yours. And these were a group of people who are not forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same battle, when the Romans sent spies to spy on the Muslims, they came back. And how did they define the Muslim army? They said, these are a group of people who are on horseback during the day, and on their prey on the mat in the evening. If their leader steals, they will cut off his hand. And if he fornicates, they will stone him. And every single one of them compete with each other to uphold the truth and the haqq. This was the definition of the believers. And then the battle began. And the Romans sent their mightiest warrior, a Greek man called George. By this time, let alone be scared of Khalid, they didn't even want to draw their sword. And he came out. And he came to Khalid, radiallahu anhu. And he didn't even bother drawing his sword. And he said, oh Khalid, tell me something. And honorable and noble men, don't lie, don't deceive. Is it true that God sent a sword unto your Prophet, and the Prophet ﷺ gave it to you, and there was never a time that you took it out but you defeated your enemy? And Khalid said, that's not true. Then he said, why do they call you the sword of Allah? And Khalid told him the reason why they call him the sword of Allah. And then he said, what do you call towards? And Khalid radiallahu anhu said, we call towards that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And then he said, if I do not accept, then Khalid said, you will have to pay the jizya. And he said, if I still do not accept, then Khalid said, you will have to face the sword. And in this case, you will have to face the sword of Allah. And he asked, he said, what is the status for the person who embraces your religion? And Khalid said, in our religion, we are all equal. And then he said, I think on your religion. And he embraced Islam. And Khalid radiallahu anhu took the shahada on the hand of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid taught him to pray two rakats. That's all he did. He prayed two rakats. And he went into the battlefield and he was a martyr. This was the greatest battle. For 6 days this battle raged. For 6 days. And the narration mentioned on the first day, Khalid had killed over 100 men. Again in this battle, he broke 9 swords again. And on the fourth day, the Romans threw everything that they had at the Muslims. And the narration mentioned that while Khalid was fighting, he was fighting with so much ferocity that he lost his hat. And then there was a lull in the fighting. And Khalid was always cool and calm. And he was frantically saying, where's my hat? My hat? My hat? And finally they looked for his hat and they found it. And somebody asked him, what's with his hat? And he said, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the hajj and he had his hair shaved. I went and I took the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it showed the love that these people had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are you going to do with these hair? And I said, oh Messenger of Allah, I will take strength with them against my enemies. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as long as you will have them, you will never be defeated. And he said, I had a stone into my hat, and never have I fought an enemy, but I am overcoming with the barakah of the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on this battle, wallahi, men gave sacrifice, which Muslim, and the Muslim were retreating. Ikramah, radiallahu anhu, the son of Abu Jahl, and this is where Allah says, يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. Allah takes something life out of something dead. His dead was, his father was spiritually dead, but he took a man like Ikramah. Ikramah, when the Muslim were retreating, he took an oath. He took an oath that he would fight until he died. And he took a pledge for 400 men. And he was Khalid ibn Walid's best friend. And Khalid radiallahu anhu pleaded with him. He said, oh Ikramah, your loss would be a great, your death would be a great loss to the believers. Don't go. And Ikramah said, how many times I fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I never ran away from the battlefield. Do you think today I will leave the battlefield? And he went with his 400 men and then he turned around to Abu Bakr ibn Jarrah and he said, oh Abu Bakr, I swear by Allah, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah. I swear by Allah, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah. And then he said, oh Abu Bakr, I'm about to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you have any message for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yes, give him my salam. And Ikramah went and he was martyred, and after the battle, Khalid radiallahu anhu found him and he was breathing his last, and Khalid was placing water into his mouth. And Ikramah died on the lap of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. For 6 days this battle raged until finally the Muslims defeated him. And after that day, the Romans never came into the Arab Peninsula. Never. And this was one of the last greatest battles that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu fought. And then Khalid was a very generous person. And he had attained much booty. And people would come to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and they would ask him for money. And Khalid would give generously. And amongst these people was a man called Ashas ibn Gayt. And he was a poet. And the rumor spread that Khalid bin Walid had given him money from the wealth of the believers, and he had given him money because he was reciting poetry regarding Khalid bin Walid. And Umar radiallahu anhu found out about this. And Umar became enraged. And he had Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu demoted. And then he summoned Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to Medina to explain himself. And Khalid radiallahu anhu explained him. He asked, was it your wealth or was it the wealth of the believers? And Khalid radiallahu anhu said, it was from my own pocket. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, then if that's the case, I exonerate you. And he made a public announcement that it wasn't due to this reason that he had demoted Khalid bin Walid, but it was due to the reason that Umar liked centralized government. He liked to know what his governors were doing. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was used to Abu Bakr giving him a free reign. And so when the issue of Mu'alafatul Qulub came, Umar believed that Mu'alafatul Qulub should no longer be given the zakah. While Khalid believed that these people had newly embraced Islam, to give him some money so they come closer, and this was his ijtihad, and Umar told Khalid that he should give nothing. He should give nothing unless he informs him. And Khalid said, if that's the case, then do whatever you wish. And Umar radiallahu anhu demoted him. But this wasn't the greatest test for Khalid bin Walid. The greatest test for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was that Umar radiallahu anhu stopped him from going to the battlefield. And the reason why Umar radiallahu anhu did this, because people trust their trust was in Khalid rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They began to say, wherever Khalid goes, he cannot be defeated. He's undefeatable. And Umar was concerned about the aqeedah and the belief of the people. And hence, he totally did not allow Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to go to the battlefield. Can you imagine, in the time of Abu Bakr, for 1 year after Hira, Abu Bakr did not allow Khalid bin Walid to fight, and Khalid bin Walid named that year the year of women because he couldn't fight. And for the last 4 years of his life, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was not allowed to go into the battlefield. But as I mentioned, Khalid was not only a soldier, he was a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the narration mentioned that after Fajr Salah, he would pick the Quran, and all the way to Dhuhr, he would recite the Quran and he would cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, men, you will never have men, wallahi. You have And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was depressed because he wanted to die on the battlefield. And he said, look at my leg. And he showed him his leg. He said, do you see a hand equivalent to a hand span, which does not have a wound upon it? And he looked at his leg. It was not even equivalent to a hand span, which did not have a wound on it. Then he showed him his left leg. And the same, not a hand span, which did not have a wound upon it. And then he showed him his right arm. And then he showed him the left arm. And then he showed him his chest. And there was not a hand span, which did not have a wound upon it. And Khalid said, I fought numerous battles. I fought over 100 duels. And you see me dying on my bed. And his friend said, oh Khalid, don't you understand? The day the Prophet defines you as the sword of Allah, it was impossible for you to die in the battlefield. And Khalid said, why? He said, because if you had died in the battlefield, then an unbeliever would have killed the sword of Allah. And that means the sword of Allah would have been broken by the enemy of Allah, and this would never happen. And Khalid radiallahu anhu died upon his bed. He died upon his bed. Khalid, on the day of Yarmouk and the day of Yarmouk, broke 9 swords. Why? Because they were Khalid's sword. As far as Khalid was concerned, he could never be broken because he was Allah's sword. He was Allah's sword. And contrary to his desire, he died upon his bed. And the man who fought numerous battles, the man who fought duel upon duel, the man who brought the 2 superpowers to their knee, wanted shahada, but he died on his bed. But why shouldn't he desire shahada? Why shouldn't he desire for shahada? For shaheed on the day of judgment, his blood will smell like musk. His blood, he's not given a bath because his blood will bear testimony for him on the day of judgment. His clothes are not changed because his clothes will bear a testimony for him on the day of judgment. He is no janaza salah read upon him because he is alive by Allah. And Allah said, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not regard those who have passed away in their path of their Lord as dead, but they are alive by Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains them. And maybe Khalid's blood will not bear testimony for him on the day of judgment. Maybe his clothes will not bear testimony for him on the day of judgment. But I swear by Allah, there will be no mujahid who will not bear a testimony for Khalid. There will be no shaheed who will not bear a testimony for Khalid bin Walid. Because there has never been a mujahid or a shaheed who has not been inspired by Khalid bin Walid, the unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Khalid bin Walid passed away, the only thing this mujahid left behind was 3 things. His horse, his weapons. And can you imagine the man who would dare to ride the horse that Khalid bin Walid rode? And was there any man who could fulfill the right of that horse upon which Khalid bin Walid rode? Was there any man who would dare hold the sword which Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu held? And when the news of the demise of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu reached Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu had a very strict order that nobody should cry over their death. To the degree that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, the women gathered in the house of Abu Aisha radiallahu anha, and Abu Bakr dispersed them. Umar dispersed them. He said, nobody is allowed to mourn over the deceased. But when the news of Khalid bin Walid came, Umar sat where he was, and the women began to cry. And a man came to Umar and he said, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, the women are crying. Sort them out. And Umar said, may your mother lose you. For on the likes of Khalid bin Walid, those who cry should be allowed to cry. On the likes of Khalid bin Walid, those who cry should be allowed to cry. And Khalid heard the mother of Khalid bin Walid, and Umar radiallahu anhu heard the mother of Khalid bin Walid reciting poetry. She said, and the خير من ألف ألف من القوم إذا ما كبت وجوه الرجال الشجاع أنت أشجع من ليث وصحر بن أبي أشبال الجواد أنت أجمد من سيل يتسفل بين الجبال. She said, you are better than a million as long as men fall in front of you on their faces, and you are braver than a tiger, as Sa'd ibn Abi Ishbali. And as for generosity, you are more generous than that stream which comes down from our mountain. And Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, and he said, the mother of Khalid has spoken the truth. He was better than a million. And I swear by Allah, if Khalid was better than a million in those days, he is better than a million of today. But there will never be another Khalid bin Walid. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.